turning, I'll give you a little update on what the church here has been supporting me in the ministry for, I know, 15 years, maybe even longer than that. Before you had this building, and Brother Joe Davis was pastor. It's across the road here, the old building. Never how long ago that's been. I really should have wrote it down and been more specific about it. I work with this Gulf Coast Prison Ministry. I've been doing it for going on 24 years. And before that, I pastored two Baptist churches for 10 years. And I give up and went to jail. I just give up on that pastoring business. Found me a place where they don't walk out on me. If the good Lord permits, I'll be in Missouri on Wednesday morning in a death row prison on Wednesday morning. Wednesday night through Friday night, I'll be in another penitentiary in Farmington, near Farmington, Missouri, which is about an hour south of St. Louis. Recently, I've been working in a supermax prison up in Virginia called Red Onion Supermax Prison. They don't usually let you go in supermax prisons, but about a year ago, well, last January rather, the chaplain called me. I was in a prison meeting down in Mississippi, and he called me and asked me if I'd be interested in going in this supermax prison. Took me about 3 months to get it all cleared to get in. I go up there when the good Lord permits. I'm just giving you an update here, let you know why you helped me. I appreciate it. I appreciate you supporting me and my wife and my family and providing all the means that I need to do what I do. I go in this prison not by myself, me and my brother-in-law. It's about 2.5 hours from my house. Get up at 5 o'clock on Friday morning to be there by 8:45. It's where this D.C. sniper, he's housed there, Malvo guy that won. They executed the one. They should have executed this one, but they gave him 400 years. How silly. Amen. I could save him a lot of money in about 5 minutes. But anyway, I do believe in the death penalty. I do believe we have the curse of God on our land because we do not speedily execute murderers and baby rapers and all that. So I'm not a liberal, in case you are. I'm not one. And amen. So if you drop my support, I know there's some here. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that went over real big, preacher. But I go in there and preach to those. They call them a Protestant service. I'm not a Protestant, and I'm a Baptist. Amen. And I know you may not be, but you might be when you get to heaven. That's how much Baptist I am. But the truth of the matter is, all non-Catholic, non-Muslim, non-whatever else that wants to come, they come in my service or my brother-in-law's service, and we preach to them for an hour. We have 1 hour. They got to come out of there. Very dangerous place, no doubt about it. Have large German police dogs about that big. If you work in a prison, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Have these police dogs all over this prison. And when those men come out of their living quarters to the child, have those dogs come out. Concrete facility, and all them dogs are leaping to the full length of that chain they have them on at leash, intimidating those men. It may not intimidate them, but it does me. Amen, it does me. They have one of them, is so bad, he chewed his own tail off. And I asked them about it. They said they give this dog something like Ritalin, like they do kids that people don't discipline. Hallelujah, amen. I guess the kid keep him from killing himself. He's so mean. And anyway, and over your head when you're preaching, you have an officer with a high-powered rifle in a booth looking down in this room to make sure, I guess, that none of them hurt you. Hallelujah. Amen. And I asked him one day, I said, are all these fellas good shots? They said, yeah, we're all good shots and we're trigger happy. Relax, preacher. Amen. But I get to go in there. And I know that sounds, but it's real. That's just the real deal. It's not for everybody. And in the process of going in that prison, the fellow there is a volunteer chaplain. He volunteers his time. Some program pays him a little bit for his time. In the process, I met another chaplain that is a chaplain at a maximum security. And he's gave me permission to come in there whenever I want to on Wednesday. So you pray about that. I'm headed to Missouri for the week's over. They named that, I hope you're not from there, Missouri, Misery. That's pretty close, amen. All kidding aside, I'm just trying to have a good time. Some of you believe it's a sin to grin, I can tell. By looking at you, I'm making the pastor nervous here, but anyhow. But that's pretty much it. I've been doing that. We go in 30, 40, whatever we're allowed to do, and wherever we get a door open. And like I said, it's not for everybody, but it's a perfect fit for me. Amen. The Lord's blessed me. You say, preacher, you ever been afraid in there? And I can honestly say, maybe I'm not smart enough to be afraid. I've never been afraid of being in there. Wouldn't be much good if you was afraid. And don't trust me, I'm not super spiritual, and I'm not all that tough. And I'm not interested in a martyr's crown. I kind of like going out when I go in. But that's what I do, and your church, here's this church, if you're new here, this church has been helping me do that. This change march here is part of Brother Turner's ministry, the school, and you're all, some folks here are dedicated to our Bible Institute that's part of our mission program. That's not my area. I'm not smart enough to do all that. But I just go and preach. You say, what are you doing there? Well, we pray. We have a song or two, and we preach. And we give an invitation, and those that are concerned, the Holy Ghost is working on and draws them to Him. We try to biblically instruct them on what it means to be saved. And that's it. Amen. I mean, it's nothing fancy or not a lot of glory, a lot of fame. But it's good to be in the perfect will of God. It's good to find your place in the body of Christ. And you find your place where He said He placed every member of the body where it pleases Him. You'll get where He's pleased, you'll be pleased. And it'll work for you. I believe that's right. Well, so much for that. I have one son, he just surrendered to preach here. He's 35, about a month or so ago. He's preaching a little Baptist church up in Newport, Tennessee this morning. And he's 35. He's a good man. Been a good boy. He's a good man. Got two grandsons now. One of them's 8. One of them's 4. Amen. The one 8's professed to come to know the Lord and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen. He's real tender-hearted. Now, you pray for the little one, though. I don't know if he has any conscience. He's mean. Amen. He's mean. Amen. I love it. Amen. I love it. Amen. They're wonderful. I don't whip them at my house. Amen. I ain't got the heart to do it. I just ain't. They may die in the electric chair, but I can't whip them youngins. But so much for that. Been married to the same woman 38 years. So much for all that. I can tell that's boring to you. It's boring to tell all that. But I'm going to read some Bible verses, see what the Lord will do. But I just wanted to give you a little shot in the arm about what to do. And I didn't mean to sound like a smart aleck while ago. He thought in the Sunday school, I was all fidgety. And he said, you just can't, you're itching to preach. I said, no, I've drank too much caffeine. And I'm about to go nuts over here. Amen. Anyhow, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll read a few verses. And I'll tell you, here's my notes. You can tell this is off the cuff. Amen. I learned that in Bible college. That'll help you right there. But that's pretty much it. So we'll see how this thing flies. Y'all still out there? Yeah. Amen. Amen. I tell you what. I'm going to try to hurry here. I can't help it. I just got up here. Amen. Blame it on your preacher here. Amen. But anyway, I will. I talk fast. You listen fast. Here in 2 Timothy 3, we're very familiar with this. A lot been said of this morning about the coming of the Lord and where we're at in time. And I believe this has something to do with it, to say the least. He said, this know also in the last days, perilous times have come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusing, countenance, fierce, despised those are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of. From such turn away. For this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he said, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so these resist the truth, men of corrupt mind, reprobate, concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men as theirs also. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this privilege, this dear brother trusting us, this church being so kind to us all these years. We sure wouldn't want to hurt anything you're doing here, grieve the Holy Ghost in any way. Lord, we'd like to be a blessing and a help, Lord, to this pastor and these people. But most of all, Lord, we like to be pleasing to thee. Lord, if we please thee, Lord, don't make no difference what anybody else thinks. If you're pleased, then, Lord, that's all that matters. Please help us now. Deliver these thoughts. Give us the right spirit, right attitude, and the right Holy Ghost power that we need. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here, you're very familiar with this portion of Scripture. And I heard this morning, I don't know where you stand on the second coming of the Lord. I'm what you call a premillennialist. And I trust the majority of you are. I hope you are. You hope you're not a general judgment believer, amillennialist, postmillennialist, or a mid-tribber. I don't believe you're going no part of the tribulation. And like I say, I'm a premillennialist. I think you read that in 1 Thessalonians 4, talking about the rapture of the church, verse 13, Paul writing what the Holy Ghost told him to. He said, I not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning him at your sleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ arise first. And we which are alive remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall ever be the Lord. Wherefore, comfort you one another with these words. Then he said in chapter 5 of the time, see, brother, you need not arise for yourself, no purpose, that the day of the Lord shall come as the thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brother, not in the dark, that they should overtake you as a thief. For all the children of the day, children of the light, were not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God's not appointed us to wrath, but that we should attain salvation by Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourself together, and edify one another, even as you also do. I trust you know that. We're not in the dark about the coming of the Lord. I'm not in the dark. I don't understand it all, but I'm not in the dark. Amen. The worse it gets, the closer home we are. Amen. We call that the rapture of the church, or the catching away of the bride of Christ. God's coming in the clouds. He's not coming down then. Set his feet up on the earth. He's coming in the clouds. Amen. To get the church. That's born again, blood washed believers. Amen. Whatever denomination they're in, if they've been born again, born of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And cleansed by the blood of Christ. They are going. Amen. And I'm glad I know that. I know we live in a wicked time. I know the Lord's coming. I know when he comes in the rapture. If you're saved. Amen. I don't believe you can be saved and not know it. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved. Well, most likely you're not. Amen. I don't have to ask this preacher. I don't have to ask any other person. Amen. Don't have to ask the Pope, some priest. God knows I ain't asking no politician anything. Amen. I have the witness of the Holy Spirit in me. Romans 8:16 said his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Everybody saved got the Holy Spirit living in them. Amen. You cannot have him move in and not know it. To say you're saved and not know it be like saying you're married and not know it. And from the looks of some of you, wish you could forget that experience. But the truth of the matter is, amen, one reason I know I'm married, since I got married, somebody else lives in the house. Why, know you're not, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is of God. You're not your own, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, go find God in your body and your spirit, which are God. You cannot have him take up his abode inside you and not know it. By the way, you can't have him move in and somebody else not know it. You read over in John chapter 2 where Jesus made a scourge or a whip. He went into the temple, that building there where they worship. Our body is his temple now. Amen. He went in with that whip and he turned the tables over and drove that money-changing crowd out. And those animals, amen. You know, if you'd went by that temple before Jesus went in there and looked in, amen, and you went there after he got done working on them with that whip, amen, you wouldn't have to ask somebody if things are different in here. Amen, I believe that's right. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. You can no more be saved and not change. Amen. Change your behavior. Amen. Change your attitude. Amen. Change your appetite. You can no more be saved and not change. No more than you can stand in a 5-gallon bucket of water. Stick your finger in one of these wall plug sockets around here. You and everybody in this room is going to know immediately you made contact with an invisible power. Amen. You're going to make an immediate transformation. You won't have to put a sign on your back. Something got to hold me and I got to hold something. We'll know it as we carry your smoking carcass out of here. You are a new creature. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe that's so. Amen. We live down somewhere close to the rapture of the church. Amen. I get upset, and you ought to too. There's some righteous indignation. Amen. That this same-sex sodomite movement don't bother you, you're not saved. Amen. You're just not saved. Amen. But it's going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse than it is, most likely, before we get out of here. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you going to do about that? Well, I bought me AR-15. And just in case one came in the bathroom where I was at confused. Amen. I'm trying to say something here. I had a tender moment right there. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we live in that time. What are we supposed to do? What do we need in these last days that we live in? I'll tell you one thing we need. We need the truth of the Scripture. This Bible right here, this King James Bible, 1611 Bible, I believe it's right. Amen. I believe it's right. You say, I don't agree with you. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I just believe it's right. Amen. I think 2 Timothy 4, Paul said, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead as is appearing. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine, but heap their own lust teachers, having itching ears, to turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou on all things, endure affliction, do the work of faith, make full proof of thy ministry, for I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure hand, I fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, to give me in that day, not to me only, but also in all them that love his appearing. I believe that's right there. If you don't amen me, I carry my own amen with me. I wouldn't say that if I didn't believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. Preach the word, not some fairy tale. My job's not raise the dead, heal the sick. Amen. My job's not speaking in tongues, casting out devils. My job is to preach the word. Preach the word in season, out of season. I believe I'm out of season right now, but I'm doing the best I can with it. Amen. You ought to look at this crowd and try to say something. Hallelujah. I'm a nervous wreck. I don't get nervous in prison. I know they're all crooks, but I don't know all you people. But, amen. You don't know what you're dealing with around these places. Amen. Hallelujah. Finally, some of you grinned. Amen. Some of you got mad right there somewhere. But anyway, amen. And I don't go around trying to make people mad, but I wouldn't give you a nickel for a preacher. Don't make somebody mad every now and then. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that went over. You're doing good, Brother Epps. Probably your last trip here, but you're doing good. Amen. Hey, we need the truth of the Scriptures. Amen. This Bible. I was in a bank yesterday morning just for a minute. I know this brother. He's a good man. He's standing in the line, and his wife's died. I think it's kind of shook him a little bit, and he's a little rattled. I guess if something happened to my wife, it'd probably tear me up, mess me up like that. But he goes to a good church, a Bible-sound church. But he made a statement to me. He said a friend of his passed away the other day, right before he passed away. He lived a wicked life. He said, he called him and said, I finally got the truth. And he said, in the hospital, I saw three angels, three angelic creatures at the foot of my bed, and I really got the truth. Well, I didn't rebuke him or say anything, but if that's what that man's depending on to get to heaven, he ain't going to make it. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That which is not of faith is sin. Amen. I got saved because I believe the scripture, the record that God gave of his son, that Christ died for my sins according to scripture, that he was buried, and on the third day he resurrected, amen, on his own power bodily, shed his innocent blood for dirty sinners like me. By the way, he didn't just die for us, but he was virgin born. He had to be born for us. He had to come in the womb of a virgin begotten of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he didn't just die for us, but he had to live for us. He had to live without sin, without spot, without blemish. He fulfilled every jot, every tittle of the law. Amen. Nobody took his life, but he laid his life down freely. A sovereign God sacrificed his own son at the hands of wicked men, that wicked men like you and I could be saved. Amen. When you believe that with all your heart, not just your head, when you trust him with all your heart, that's when you get born again. Well, we need the truth of the scriptures. Hey, I tell you something else. We need a touch of the Holy Spirit. The sinner needs a tug of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him. Somebody said, as long as there's life in the body, there's hope. Well, that sounds good, but that's not so. 2 Thessalonians 2 said, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God sent them a strong delusion, that they might believe a lie and be damned. Amen. If the Holy Ghost ever quits dealing with somebody, steps back, gives them over to a reprobate mind, amen, and turns away from them, they can walk around another 50 years. If he does not draw a man to Christ, if he does not deal with you, you're doomed, neighbor, you're doomed. That's why I said, when you hear my voice, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Amen. You may not have another day. There's no such thing as irresistible grace. Old Felix, he trembled when Paul preached to him about righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Oh, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me become a Christian. Oh, Mark 10, when that rich young ruler came to the Lord, fell on his face, said, Master, what good things must I do to inherit eternal life? He named 6 commandments. He said, I've observed these from my youth up. And Jesus said, one thing thou lackest, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and take up thy cross and follow me. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful, for he had much goods. I'm telling you, neighbor, if the Holy Ghost is dealing with you about your sin, that's him tugging on you. You can't get in. I heard the gospel a many a time, but the morning I got saved, I heard the gospel like I'd never heard it before. He spoke to me where I was at. I'm glad I got in. Amen. Y'all out there, amen, some of you look like you're in a dentist's office. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to preach here. Amen. You can tell I didn't do too good as a pastor. I found me a place, amen, where you can preach to them, amen. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm trying to say something. I'm glad the Spirit of God, 44 years ago on a Sunday morning, I was in a dope house in a housing project apartment on the west side of town where I lived. I was shooting dope and snorting dope. Now, I'm not glorifying sin, bragging on the devil, but the Holy Ghost came over in the middle of that dope house. Why, he got me and didn't get the rest of them, but he dogged me and spoke to me and wooed me that morning. I didn't hear no audible voice or see no angelic creature, but in my mind said, won't you put the dope down right now, David, and you can get over out where your grandma and grandpa go to church before the service is over. That's not normal thinking for a rank sinner. Before that morning was over, I walked in Fairview Bible Baptist Church at 11:30. Amen. Hair down on my back, a pair of bell bottom breeches on, with blue jeans with patches on them, a t-shirt with a peace sign on it, needle tracks in both my arms, smell of whiskey and beer on my breath, depressed on my way to hell. By 15 after 12, I was born of the Holy Ghost, washed in the blood of Christ, sealed under the devil. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, neighbor, you ought to get in if you ain't in. Well, I'm feeling a little better now. Hey, man, I'm just telling you, I mean, he never tugged on me like he tugged on me. that day. I'm glad I got saved. The sinner needs a tug. The saints need a touch. I think it's Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, when except be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, make me heart as unto the Lord. Amen. Be not drunk with wine. Don't be controlled by the world, but be you filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, I know when I got saved, I got the Holy Ghost. God Almighty moved in, and I believe I got all of Him. But there's a difference in having Him in you and having Him on you. Amen. I like it when He gets on me. Amen. I believe He's helping me right now. I'm trying to say something. You said, preacher, you loud. Am I loud enough? I can crank her up if I ain't. Hallelujah. Amen. I hate to be bored at church, don't you? I'd rather be mad. Make me weep. Make me laugh. Make me mad. But don't bore me. If you bore me, I ain't coming back. So I'm trying not to bore you right here. Amen. I hate that. Yeah, can you imagine going in the church and that guy got that collar on, big old robe, look like a boat anchor hanging on you. This is the Lord. Oh, shut up, man. You ain't no more excited about God than that. You can't help somebody like me. Where I got saved, they spit on the first four, few, five pews, hacking around. Hey, where was I at? Am I doing all right, preacher? Amen. You can tell I don't preach to get to come back. Amen. I'm glad God, you know, the Holy Spirit's the one convicts us. I knew I had a problem before I got saved, but I didn't know what. Every sinner has a problem. My sinful nature, I express it outwardly a lot more than most people. Very vile man. I didn't understand why I was like I was. I got so sick of it all and so ashamed of being such a vulgar human being. Amen. I didn't know what was going on. That's conviction. Well, you can't find nothing that satisfies you. You don't know what's wrong. I knew I had a problem, but I didn't know what the Holy Ghost did not just convict me, but He convinced me. He convinced me the reason I had the problem is because I was born with an Adamic nature that I inherited from my father Adam. When Adam and Eve partook of that tree that God forbid them to eat of in the midst of the garden, the knowledge of good and evil, when they ate of that tree, we were all in their loins. And when Adam fell, we fell with him all the way to the bottom. And we're born with a dead spirit towards God and an Adamic nature that we inherited from our... That's the reason we sin. And we could not get back. Adam could not get back on his own. But the Lord, he said he heard the voice of God walking. Before that, they'd been fellowshipping with God in the cool of the day. This day, it doesn't say they saw Him, but they heard Him. Faith come by hearing. And now Adam and Eve had sewed some fig leaves together to cover up their nakedness. Amen. That's Cain religion. That's works of your own hands. That's something you do to try to cover up your sinful nakedness. Take away the guilt of your dirty sins. That did not satisfy the demands of a holy God. And God came to him because He loved him. And an innocent animal was walking through the garden as God was talking to Adam and Eve. Confront them about where they were at and what they'd done. At that time, whatever kind of animal that was, God jerked it up, cut its throat, shed its innocent blood. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Took that bloody skin and covered Adam and Eve. That's what God did to His own Son. Amen. He sacrificed the Lamb of God, shed His blood, that you and I could be clothed in the righteousness of the Son of God. Thank God Almighty. Amen. I'm glad God showed me that. Amen. I'm trying to hurry. I'm doing pretty good for 15 minutes. I'm telling you I am. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, you talk fast. You need to drink your Mountain Dew when you come hear me and you can catch up. Amen. The truth of the matter is He convicts us. He convinces us. He's the one that converts us. Amen. You weren't looking for God the day you got saved. You might have been searching for an answer, but He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Now I got saved. I'd go to church sometime at Christmas. As a heathen, I believed in the virgin birth. I've never doubted His virgin birth. You got to believe the virgin birth. If you don't believe the virgin birth, you're not saved. Amen. And I go to church at Easter because I believed in the resurrection. We all believed in those things. I mean, as just rank heathens, we knew that. And then I went to homecoming. Y'all have homecoming? Where you fried chicken, tater salad, pies and cakes, amen. Even a drunk can go for a free meal, amen. Isn't that right? Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You put a little bait on the hook. Isn't that right? Amen. And they'd use a chicken wing to bait me in. And you go down there to eat that good food, and before you got to eat the food, that preacher would hang you out over hell for about 45 minutes, make you feel like a sheep-killing dog. And when he got done preaching, I didn't want no chicken. I wanted out there. But faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word. God took his word and started showing me what my problem was. Well, let me get done here. Amen. Whew, this is a tough crowd, preacher. Amen. Some of these fellas are the reason I'm in the prison ministry. Hey, I'll get inside the truth. We need the truth of the scripture. We need the touch of the spirit. Amen. We need the gathering of the saints. We know we pass from death unto life because of love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. He that hateth his brother is a murderer. You know not, no murder have eternal life abiding. Hereby perceive we love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we'll also lay down our life for a brother. If a man have this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We're not to forsake the assembly or set together as a man of some is, exhorting one another, even so much more as we see the day approaching. I love this myself. I'm in church about every day of my life. Amen. I love it. Hallelujah. I love it. Amen. I got saved on Sunday morning, showed back up on Sunday night, for I knew it was a sin not to be there. Amen. Thought I'd get that in there. Now, you don't have to come tonight, but amen. But you know, they didn't even think you were saved over where I got saved until you showed up on Wednesday. I didn't know that wasn't part of the gospel. Amen. Amen. I still doubt some of them, don't you? Amen. But the truth matter is, I'm glad I got in. I used to get real nervous around saved people. They made me feel bad. Made me feel guilt. Because I believe in holiness. I believe in holiness. Amen. They didn't come down to my standard to win me. Amen. They walked holy. My grandmother, she wore dresses down to here and little aprons. She couldn't read or write. She had her dress buttoned up to here. She didn't know how to read or write. She never had the privilege to go to school. She got saved and used to drink moonshine liquor, make it. They did. She got saved and changed her lifestyle. Amen. And she didn't look down her nose at nobody. She couldn't read or write. She wasn't ignorant. She was illiterate. She just illiterate. There's a difference. You know, we made a god out of education. Some of these universities, they made a god out of them things. Hey, man, you know, my grandmother never did believe in evolution. See, you're not born that stupid to believe in evolution. You go get you a degree in stupidity at some school somewhere. Hey, man, you get you a PhD, 8-year PhD, and before you can run around and say, Dr. Stupid is what you ought to put on it. Now, I know that's not a politically correct word, stupid, but I thought that's my first name, first 20 years of my life. I'm just trying to tell you. My mom couldn't read or write, but she knew better than that. She had met the author of this Bible. That's the Holy Ghost. He lived in her. Amen. She started living holy. She'd go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I watched her life, and it convicted me about my life. Because the life she lived. Well, I'll leave that alone. How am I doing out there? A little snag on that right there. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, I fell in love with God's people. I know we're a mess sometimes, but I'll tell you, we're the best thing going. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you ain't part? This is a crazy world, man. I'm telling you, this is a crazy, crazy world when you don't know what bathroom to go in. You got a real problem. Amen. Amen. By the way, I'm Southern born. Amen. And I'm totally despise this stuff about taking our statues of our history down. Amen. That's a crazy outfit. Crazy outfit. That's going to school on your tax dollars. I'll leave that alone. You all right, preacher? Am I all right? I like this guy right here. Amen. Go ahead, preacher. Go ahead. Amen. Hang him out there. I'll get this straightened out next week when I get a chance. Let me get done. I'm done. I'm quitting. I've said enough. I'll tell you something else. We need a thirst for a stirring. What is it, 2 Peter 3? this second epistle I now write unto you both for to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you might be mindful of the words which spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of the apostles of the Lord, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Amen. Saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. They reject truth. Stir up your pure mind. You know, by way of remembrance. You know what helps me in spite of all that's going on? When I remember how the Lord found me and saved me. Oh, Lord, mercy. If you'd have seen me that morning. Amen. A pair of bell-bottom breeches on. Can you imagine? They did fit us. We did wire them right. Amen. You get my age, this part moves up here. You have to do this. But, you know, I've been some places, boy, I tell you what, they have to bend over to get their keys out of the pocket where they wear these breeches down around their knees. I'm going to leave that alone. But, amen, I got saved out of that mess. By the way, I've been cured. I had liver disease from drug addiction, and God let me get cured of that. He killed my brother, and he's killing my sister. And she lives ungodly, my brother. But God let me get cured. Hallelujah. Amen. That may not mean much to you, but it does to me. Amen. I'm glad God had mercy. Amen. How he saved me. And now he healed me of that. That stirs me up. Amen. Amen. My wife's had two brain tumor surgeries. She's doing fine. God took care of all that. That stirs me up. That the good Lord have mercy on somebody like that. Save my boy. Amen. Preaching the word of God. That stirs me up. Amen. By way of remembrance how good God's done for me. I've done... been in hell if I hadn't got saved that day. Well, and I know this has been scattered. I'll tell you something else we need tears for the sinner. That's where my trouble is. And my tear ducts are dried up and I get cold sometime and real judgmental and pharisaical and about things when I look around and then I remember, well, the Lord is this, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolish, neither can he know them because their spirits are darkened. When you see folks living ungodly, they're in the dark. They don't understand. Amen. They don't understand. We didn't understand. Don't you think God one day, God come along, turn the light on. That's exactly what he did. Turn the light on. Shine this light in that darkened heart. Open up your mind where you could get a hold of this. Gave you faith and a desire to repent. That's all goes together. I quit. Are you saved? I know I am. Amen. If I don't make it back home from this trip, I'm going to heaven. I'm not waiting to see. Amen. I'll tell you something else. We need to think about that judgment seat of Christ. Is that 1 Corinthians 3? Brother, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, as unto the babes. I fed you with milk, not meat, for hitherto you're not able. For are you not yet carnal? For yet there's him in striving to be. Are you not carnal? Walk with men. One saith, I'm a Paul. Another saith, I'm Apollos. Who then is Paul and who then is Apollos? But men by whom we believe. For even the Lord gave them. And I've planted Paul's water, but God gave the increase. So neither he that planted anything, neither the water, but God that giveth the increase. He that planted, he that watered, one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we labor to go with God. We're God's husband, God's building according to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder. I've laid a foundation, another man build their upon, but let every man take heed how he build his upon, for there's no other foundation which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall tell every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide which he built upon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, himself be saved, yet so as before. Let's talk about you and I saved. Right after the rapture, right in the appearance, at the judgment seat of Christ, that's where we're going to give account what we've done with Jesus since we met him. Amen. What sort? Not the amount, but what sort? What's the motive behind what I'm doing right now? Amen. What's the motive? What's the motive behind what I do in Jesus' name? Do I do it because I'm afraid the preacher's going to chew me out next Sunday where I go if we're not doing it? Or do it because I love the Lord? Amen. Come on, preacher, I'm done.